Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it.
Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. I'm so excited.
I'm also very excited.
We have a friend with us today. Our sweet friend, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks for having me on.
So Mary is a really cool person in that she does ministry for a living.
This is a very cool person.
We think that that's really cool. So yeah, Mary is one of our friends who gets to literally do what we do on this podcast for a living, which is so awesome. She disciples college girls. She's worked with FCA for a few years now. She's also a new mom.
Yay.
Which is incredible. Yes. She's the cutest baby boy. So yeah. Thanks for being on, Mary.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
She's happy you're here. An incredible Bible teacher and like the Old Testament's number one fan, probably.
I love the Old Testament. I feel so flattered that y'all would ask me to even be on here to talk about that. So
surprise, yeah. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the Old Testament.
Yes, the Old Testament.
They give it away.
Yeah, was that a spoiler?
No, that's perfect. They already clicked on the episode and it has it in the title, you know?
Perfect. So it's fine. They know what they're coming for.
Nothing is a surprise.
But yeah, like this is an interesting topic because I feel like it comes up. So everybody's kind of got to deal with it at some point of like, do I really have to read the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's actually controversial. Which is so weird. Like, there are literal pastors out there who will say, no, you don't have to worry about it.
That's
and it's
so
like,
crazy.
We would not say that.
Right.
Yeah. But we want to build our case today.
Yeah.
Right? Why should we read the Old Testament? That's what we want to talk about. So maybe we can start in like a, I don't know, like a more fun, personal way. Why do we like the Old Testament? Like, just us individually. Mm-hmm. Why do you like it? You don't even have to get, like, super deep if you don't want to. But, like, why, after you gave it a shot and read it, was it, like, appealing to you?
Mm.
What do you guys think?
Do you want me to go?
Sure. Go for it, please.
No, go ahead.
Okay, for me, it started when I was in college. I had such a great college experience, and so, like, praise God for that. And that's why I love collegiate ministry to this day. But my boyfriend at the time, now husband, also praise God. he's so good to me, my husband and the Lord. And
thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. I meant the Lord, and then I was like, wait, my husband's good to me too. So maybe I should add him in that. But when I was in college, I was really starting to take my faith more seriously. And he encouraged me to read the Bible in a year, the chronological Bible version, if you will. And that was the first time I'd ever read through the whole Old Testament. And it completely and radically changed the way that I saw God the Father, specifically.
Yeah,
and I had such a deeper appreciation for why I believed what I believed. Because without so much context and history, like, what I was reading in the New Testament was really, really good, really rich. Obviously, that's why we're sitting here today, is because of what happens in the New Testament when Christ comes and fulfills the law and dies on our behalf. But the Old Testament is giving such a clear picture as to that coming, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it radically changed my heart for how I saw God. I learned attributes of him that I had never known before. And I was like, everybody needs to read this.
Yeah.
Like, how have I gone my whole life? And people would encourage me, right? Like, they'd be like, read the Old Testament. Okay, sure. Boring. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, but then I did. And it was like scales fell off of my eyes. It was as though I had never even maybe even like read the Bible. I don't know how to explain it, but in a way that it changed the trajectory of my faith completely, because I was walking so blindsided to a whole nother part of my faith that is vital and crucial for us as Christians.
Yeah.
So that is a long story.
Yes. No, that was good.
No, I want to ask you a question because I think you said something really interesting. You said that the Old Testament changed the way you saw God. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people can kind of be scared of the Old Testament because of God's character in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Where they see him, I don't know, like killing a bunch of people, like doing some things that don't feel like, you know, the gentle, beautiful, lowly Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so can you expand on that a little bit more and explain, like, if someone's like scared of God in the Old Testament, how would you encourage them? And like, is God different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament?
That's such a good question. So to answer the first part of your question, which was, let me think. sorry, can you repeat the first part?
Like, does God change in the Old Testament or is he different in the Old Testament?
No.
And we can end it right there.
In short, no. When I was going through the Old Testament, something that I learned about him was that he's just, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that about God. I knew we'd all say, like, yeah, God is just. We love that about him. But you see it full blown in the Old Testament in a way that you don't really see God's justness.
Mm-hmm. Not explicitly.
Right. Yeah. And so I learned that about him. And in Romans 23:19, it is my most favorite verse. It is what I go back to all the time. And it is when I read the Old Testament for the first time. And to make sure that I don't butcher it, I am going to read it. And I already have it pulled up. But it says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I was like, whoa, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of questions that came behind that because I was like, okay, if God doesn't change his mind, why do I pray? Like, mm-hmm. I'm started asking myself really deep things that I had never thought through before that were crucial to my faith. It's like, okay, well, if he doesn't change his mind, if nothing really matters, then like, why do I pray? Why do I do all these things? Mm-hmm. Like, he's already made up his mind. Who is this God that I worship?
Yeah.
And so that is what radically changed my heart and how I viewed even my faith as a Christian when I started learning things about God. Mm-hmm. We know he's not a man, right? We know we would say God doesn't change. We read that in scripture that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we know that to be true. That's in a sense comforting, right? Yeah. Because we know that his faithfulness never changes.
Right.
We know that tomorrow he's not going to change his mind and be like, actually, I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
Praise God that he does not change.
Yeah.
But it made me start to think through all of the things that are important for my faith that I had never thought through before because I was just raised in a Christian home.
Yeah. Right.
And I just give the elementary answers that every person mm-hmm. kind of just grows up knowing if you live in a Christian mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
And so it made me start thinking. And it started really pulling on some areas of my heart that I did not love and that I did not want to address because it did scare me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, well, who really is God?
Yeah.
Who do I worship? Who do I long for? Is it the God that like is just always loving, is always good? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. He is always good. He is always loving. But there's more to him than just that. And you get such a bigger picture of that in the Old Testament that you don't really see in the New Testament. There's, I think St. Augustine said that the Old Testament is, you know, I'm going to butcher this as well.
No, it's okay.
You're good.
But in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed.
Yeah,
and so
good.
You see pictures of the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament.
Right.
And there are pictures of the New Testament, what is to come in Christ
yeah.
in the Old Testament. But it's a little bit more concealed,
yeah.
right? There's
yeah.
not like this explicit, like this is Jesus, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a coming of a Messiah mm-hmm. who was Jesus and who perfectly fulfilled the law and everything that was said through prophecy.
That's really good. I like exactly what you're saying about God's like God never changing. Literally the reason I love the Old Testament is God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you're saying. I just, the first time I read it all the way through, exactly what you're saying, it literally changed my faith. Mm-hmm. I was like, how was I missing out on this?
Yeah.
Why was nobody telling me this? I don't know. I was so confused, like how I missed literally half of my faith. Like you said, it's so mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And people think it's hilarious that I love the Old Testament.
Yes.
But I'm like, read it. I promise like you'll feel the same way.
Right.
But it's so true. I know that the Lord is faithful because of the Old Testament mm-hmm. with the New Testament.
Yeah. Right.
Christ means something different to me because of the Old Testament.
Right.
Like, I feel like, you know, we talk about context, like on this podcast, we talk about context is important for Bible study. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't really know the full picture of Jesus without the context that he stepped into.
Right.
Like, Jesus stepped into a Jewish culture. You cannot know Jewish culture without reading the Old Testament.
Right.
There's so much there.
You don't know the law.
No, you don't know anything. You know, like. And we just, like, we're always, like, glazing past even New Testament verses, past New Testament verses because we don't know the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's so mind-blowing to me. But really, I mean, I'm always very quick in spaces when people kind of like say that God is different in the Old Testament than the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I'm so quick to nip it in the bud and as lovingly as I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like it's so important because it impacts how you view Jesus at the end of the day. And like, it's not just like, oh, well, I'll just push aside like the Old Testament. No worries. It's like, well, it actually changes the way you read the New Testament as well. Like everything's affected.
And it's so beautiful to see and comforting to know that, like, God doesn't make his decisions based on changing emotions.
Yeah.
Like, because we're humans, all we know is emotional-based decision-making, and emotions are incredibly irrational and incredibly fleeting. And so to know that, like, God doesn't make his decisions based on a particular emotional state that he's in at a given time is so comforting. And you can kind of see that in the Old Testament of, like, he is patient. He is long-suffering, but he also is just. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, like, for a long time, I was scared of reading the Old Testament and also just had some problems with the Old Testament because I was bringing a 21st century lens to view the Old Testament because I didn't understand the culture at the time.
Right.
And so I would like read passages and be like, oh, like why was a woman treated like that? Like why were a bunch of, you know, men, women and children killed just all of a sudden, like all these innocent people, like why did God just allow them all to die? And the more that I dug into it and the more that I studied it, I actually learned that actually was justice at the time. And like, go with me here because I think everything changed when Kylie and I were at a Lifeway Women's Symposium a couple years ago, actually. And Dr. Katie McCoy, my girl, I love her. She's incredible.
Please come on the podcast.
Hey, she lives in Atlanta
she
now.
She does now.
Hey, don't play with me. I might shoot an email.
Please.
Anyways, but she completely changed my perspective because she did a breakout on how, I forget what the actual title was on it, but it was kind of like how God protected women in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw
in the law specifically.
In the law specifically of like all of these purity laws, ceremonial purity laws that kind of looked from a 21st century perspective that women were being kept out of the holy places and reality were protecting them from and allowing them to give rest. Allowing them to rest and have space to actually come with themselves fully. And like when you just think about everything that was different in that context, like the lack of sanitation, like all of these different things, like all of these laws ended up being for the women's well-being in this time in this society in that given context. And so I think that like for anyone who may be scared of God of the Old Testament, just like remember that it's not going to look the same to you because you live in the 21st century. And so dig a little bit deeper, learn more about the ancient societies, learn about like the culture at large, and you can see how actually God's law was incredibly radical and it was radically progressive in that time.
Yeah, very much.
And so it's easy for us to look retrospectively and think that it's like not progressive or that it's maybe a little bit oppressive towards like women or the weaker vessels, but in reality, like it was the only thing at that given time that gave them any level of power, freedom, or autonomy. And so I think that's the thing that I love about the Old Testament the most is learning like about Jesus when he comes onto the scene. Like he was the one who actually gave us the idea of like human rights and of like equality and freedom and all these things, because that just didn't exist in this time period at all. And so like seeing how the law set up him to come and actually like bring the fruition of all the things that God was working and doing. Because even though the law seems oppressive, it actually was like such a protection and it led to his people's freedom. And so when you see Jesus coming on to the scene, he's not just, you know, going to make the law stronger or more oppressive, but he's going to fulfill it and actually like be the manifestation of the law and like actually bring the final piece that it needed to do what God always intended it to do. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that's really good.
Yes, but 1,000%. I think that like, you know, I love, one of the things I love about Christianity in general is that like it was the thing when it came onto the scene that gave us
all of our Western moral ethics of like equality, freedom, human rights, individual autonomy, all of those things. Like, though none of those values that we take for granted would even exist without Christianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so especially when people say that Christianity is like bigoted or whatever, like it's actually not, because it was the thing that even gave us like the context to think about these kind of like more progressive radical ideas, because it was incredibly radically progressive when it came on the scene in these ancient societies.
Yeah. I'll say too, some people would encourage people to and I think this is a good practice for people who are scared to read the Old Testament, is to read the New Testament. Go all the way from Matthew to Revelation. Read all of it. Have a good idea of who Christ is. Mm-hmm. And then go back and read Genesis all the way to Revelation. Mm-hmm. And that way you have somewhat of a context for what you're reading. And it doesn't feel as intimidating or scary to read the Old Testament, because you know who this Messiah that they're speaking of. You know, you now see stories of sacrifices, when we see Abraham going to sacrifice his son, but then there's a substitution. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I see that as Christ. Mm-hmm, and like, it's a little bit easier to read once you have the context. And we're so fortunate to be able to read the New Testament before the Old Testament, where these Old Testament saints had no idea, you know? And praise God that he used faithful men and unfaithful men to bring him glory, and for us to be able to worship him in a way.
No, that's good. I think that's like really helpful. We've talked about on here, when we've talked about Bible study tips, asking ourselves when we come to a passage, like, where do you see Christ or where do you see the gospel in this? And that can be really easy in the New Testament, because he's either physically there or explicitly talked about. But when it comes to the Old Testament, like you just said, Mary, there's certain places where it's like, oh, well, that seems very obvious that that could be Christ. And then there are other places where you might miss it, whether just because you don't have the knowledge for it at the time or whatever. So I want to spend some time talking about reading the Old Testament and really the Bible at large, but we're talking about the Old Testament Christologically. So when we say Christologically, first of all, because that's a big word, what do we mean when we say that? When we say reading the Bible Christologically, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, and just reading it from the framework of Jesus's nature, from his divinity, from his work, and his power, and knowing who he is as, you know, a person, and then being able to see that in the Old Testament specifically, is going to be vitally important to you as a Christian.
Very important.
So, it frames your theology, right? Like, it is a part of your theology, and hopefully, you know, everybody that listens to this, or maybe people who don't listen to this, you are a theologian, because it just means the study of God, and that you are studying God's word. So you're a little theologian, if you will. And that's how I see myself.
Yes.
So I'm not this like outspoken theologian that people are going to listen to per se, but it is just the study of God, and we should all be working towards that. So thinking through scripture Christologically will be so, so important, especially in reading the Old Testament, because we should always be thinking, where do we see Christ in this story?
Right.
So
that's good. So where are some places we see Christ in the Old Testament? This is like my favorite hobby, literally.
Yeah.
No, when I read the Old Testament, I'm like, oh,
you're like,
it's just so good.
That.
And there could be new ones all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously there's a ditch here. He's not in everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you could find a way to read it into everything.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're saying.
Yeah. Right.
There are like traditionally agreed upon places where it's like, this is pointing to Christ. That's kind of what we're talking about. What are some places maybe that stick out to us as like, okay, maybe you're reading through the Bible in a year, you get to this book, this is a place where you can see Christ.
Yeah.
What are some examples?
Well, I just gave one with Abraham.
You did.
Yeah.
No, that's a great example.
I love Genesis, like, more than any book in the whole Bible. For some reason, Genesis, like, and it's because you see the picture of the gospel.
It is so good.
Right in the third chapter. Like, you see so much of Christ in that. I mean, literally, God says, let us make man in our own image. Who is that? That is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You're already getting some good theological, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting kind of into the meat of it so quickly into the first few chapters of studying Genesis. And when we see that Adam and Eve, because of their sinfulness, should have been killed in the same way as Abraham, what happened? he killed an animal in their place, right? And there was an atonement for their sin in a sense. But there was an even greater atonement for sin that was coming. And and Eve probably thought that was going to be in her son Seth, you know? But it was in the person of Christ and still is today. And so even just the first few chapters of Genesis, like, let that encourage you because it's not boring. It's exciting. Like, you start seeing things that you never saw before, and it happens so quickly into the Bible. Like, you don't have to read tons of books into the Old Testament before you see it. Like, you're seeing it immediately in Genesis. And so that's usually my first, like, go-to is, like, the first story that we see of the first human beings on this earth is that when they fell into sinfulness, God said, you will be killed, right? You will die. And in such a loving way, he kicked them out of the garden. Praise God for that, that we don't live in an eternal damnation, right? He kicks them out, and then he kills an animal and clothes their nakedness. Like, there is nothing more beautiful to me than that, because Christ covers us in his blood, right? And so that right there, he, they knew for the first time, they realized they were naked. They went and hid from God, and he calls them out and calls them up to something greater. And it is his sacrifice for them. And then he clothes them. And in the same way, Christ died on our behalf, is the final atonement. And then we are covered in his righteousness and clothed in his blood. And praise God for that, right? Because we see that so early on in scripture. So that's my go-to. I mean,
no, that's good.
I can think of a million different places. But that one will, like, if that doesn't break your heart, reread it over and over and over until it does. Because it should.
That's so good. You have one, Olive?
I love Genesis 2.
I like really stand there.
I love Genesis, not Genesis like chapter 2, but like I also
I was like, oh, there's so much.
I know. I was like, wow, yes. Like, we have the same wavelength.
There is.
No, I think that that picture is always one that is so beautiful. Like, they were shameful for the first time. Like, they knew the consequence of sin. They experienced it for the first time. And God immediately moves towards them to cover them. Before he gave them their consequence, before he said anything to them, like, he was like, here, let me clothe you, because, like, you shouldn't be ashamed around me. And that's, like, so, so, so stunning. But I think that Genesis, not only is it the story of Jesus and who he is, but also, like, I think I mentioned this before on another podcast episode, but it's talking about how, like, sin is a way that we articulate the world as it should be, the gap in between the world as it should be and the world as it is. And so, like, every human being who is born into this earth understands that something is not how it ought to be.
Right.
Like, every single human being, it doesn't matter what your religious background is or what your beliefs are, like, you're born into this world, you experience suffering, you experience darkness, you experience injustice, and you, like, experience the consequence of sin. And so I think that, like, when you read it from that lens and you understand that, like, sin is a way that we're articulating that felt need, that everyone experiences in the world, but, like, we're actually articulating it with a solution. And so, like, you can see in Genesis how, like, Adam and Eve experience a problem, and, like, God brings the solution immediately. And he's setting the scene for, like, the ultimate solution in Jesus Christ later on. But I think that when you read Genesis, not only do you understand, like, how creation was formed and how, and God's character throughout it, but, like, you get to understand yourself more, and you get to, like, understand that, like, oh my goodness, like, this is articulating the felt need that I have in my heart, the longing in my heart, like, it's right here. And not only that, but that's also mirrored in creation, like, the creation story, and how, like, the Holy Spirit, his first act was to create order out of chaos. It's, like, one of my favorite characteristics of God, but specifically the Holy Spirit and that section of Genesis. And so you get to see, like, okay, like, as reflections of that, we're also called to, like, create order out of chaos. And so there's just, like, so many little tidbits that you can pick up from Genesis, because it is, like, explaining the foundation of the world. But I think another place that I've been reading about recently is, like, just how the Israelites wandered for 40 days in the desert, and then Jesus redeemed that when he fasted for 40 days. And so, like, you get to pick up on these themes and then that are in the New Testament, but you get to see, like, the reason why that's significant because of the Old Testament. And so
that's good.
I've been specifically studying, like, Lent and fasting and all the historic context for that. But, like, you get to see, like, biblical symbolism and themes that are that start in Genesis, so that you're able to understand, like, oh my goodness, like, this is the redemption of that.
Yeah, numbers start making sense. Yes. Like, you start picking up on, like, 10 and 7 and 3 and, like, all these numbers, and you're like, whoa, like, I didn't know these had symbolic, you know, meaning and references, and that's always fun, too.
That's good. I have two. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have two.
Yes, yeah, please. No, please.
I can't pick one. My first one is also in Genesis. So I'm sorry.
No, Genesis is so good.
Hopefully everybody read Genesis.
No, this is just one that every time I read it, I just can't really move past it quickly. But it's the Jacob's Ladder. Mm-hmm. When I read Jacob's Ladder, the first time it was explained to me, actually. So if you're not familiar, like, Jacob, he's sleeping, and then he has this dream about this, like, stairway from heaven to earth, and, like, angels are going up and down it. And, like, Christ, it's supposed to be a picture of Christ is the stairway, like, the bridge between heaven and earth. And I just read that, and it's, like, literally, Jacob's takeaway is, like, God is in this place. The dream could have been anything for him to come to that conclusion, but it's, like, no, picture of Jesus. He has no idea what he's saying. You know what I mean? Right. And so I love that one.
That's good.
I also love I'll move to Exodus. We're not moving very far, but I also just love when you read it. So mine's not a story, but the person of Moses. So I think that's another way to read Christologically, is you have types of Christ and, and certain people. Joseph in Genesis is one, Moses is one, King David is one. But for Moses, what I love is the language that's, like, explicitly used for Moses, of saying, like, seeing the Lord face to face, like, Moses was a friend of the Lord, like, things like that. But something that always sticks out to me is when Moses is talking with the Lord on Mount Sinai, and the Israelites are like, we don't want to go anywhere near that. They're like literally scared of God. Like, they understand sin, they understand God's wrath, and they're like, you have to go for us. And if you only read the New Testament, that's what we were talking about earlier, you're losing the depth of the gospel. Because what is being shown to us in Exodus is that literally we need something between us and God. Otherwise we cannot approach him at all. So like Moses was that, but then you have, like, that's why Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. The better Moses is Christ. Like, the better everything.
Okay, gonna get spicy, but do you think that because our Western evangelical church focuses so much on the New Testament that we take Jesus's sacrifice for granted?
Oh yeah.
Because we've only been in the context of, like, like, Jesus is a fulfillment, so we don't have to worry about anything. Like, we can just use his grace, and it's perfect, and we're good.
Almost like we're owed something.
Yes, exactly. It's a little bit of entitlement. But then when you read the Old Testament, and you read the stories of these people who did not have that, you're like, oh my goodness, like, I would be nothing without Christ. Like, I really would have nothing at all, because that's what these people were living in a world before. And so I think that it just gives you a greater appreciation for his sacrifice. And it kind of, like, takes you out of your place of entitlement and, like, I guess just, like, being desensitized to Jesus, because, like, that's all we know.
We get it. We literally, we're 6 years old and we know Jesus died for our sins. And, like, that's so good. Praise the Lord, we grew up in homes where that was taught to us. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think also this is why it's really important to read the meta narrative of Scripture, like, the whole story of Scripture, because something that was profound. The whole story, like, the whole redemptive story, New Testament and Old Testament together. Something that really stood out to me the first time I read the whole Bible was that salvation is not just to get you out of hell.
Talk about it.
And I think that
that
colors the way we read the gospel.
Yeah,
it does.
If the only thing we need Jesus for is to avoid hell, why would I live for him now? Because he's already, that's what I needed him for, and that's not here yet. And, like, you just don't see that in the Old Testament. Israel's not like, yes, we will do what you say because we're not going to hell. They, like, don't talk about hell. Like, really. In poetry, they'll, like, say Sheol, but it's like, that's not, like, God is not just getting them out of hell. He chose them. They know he chose them. And they're living for him because it's a better way to live. We've talked about that before. You know, God living for the Lord is just, it's to thrive instead of survive. And I think that like, reading the Old Testament and seeing, letting the Old Testament form how we view the gospel it will actually blow our minds because it's a little bit different in how we were like raised to think about it a lot of
times.
And
also they were so reliant on God.
Yeah.
Like there was, they had no other option. Yeah, like right. they were depending on God to literally magically make bread appear in the desert so that they could eat and survive every day.
It is
so
wild.
It's like the level of reliance that they had on God is just completely different. And I think that nowadays it's super easy to be like, well, I'm just going to make a lot of money and then that'll make me like financially comfortable. And then like, I'll give to the church and stuff. And like, I'll depend on God and like, I'll ask him for these things. But like, in reality, like I will make money for myself, or I will provide for myself, or I will do this and that. But like, when you read the Old Testament and you put yourself in the shoes of like the Israelites, where like they had no other option but to be reliant on God, and like the beautiful sort of like pure devotion, pure reliance on the Lord that they had, is something that like we can be grateful for, and also like see God's patience and kindness towards them.
Absolutely.
And be able to see God as a provider, like you were saying, of like, you don't really, you know God is a provider hypothetically, but when you read these stories, you can see tangibly how he is a provider.
And that's Christ. Right? Right. Like that, you know, we read these stories about Christ and it's like, it's really not as different as I feel like we think it is, right? When you read the whole thing, it does, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And guys, I'll say it, you should also read the prophets.
Yes.
I'm just like, I feel like after David leaves the scene, we're like, don't know what happened until Matthew.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
It's like we know everything up to David and then doesn't really matter. But that, I'm just nerding out a little bit, but like the exile is so important. That's what I'm just all say. Everyone should read it for themselves. And it's really hard because it is tricky that historically that time period is a little tricky. But just the whole thing is important. If we actually believe the whole Bible is important, we have to read it like it's important, which is what we're saying. Right.
Right.
So I think what you said, Mary, at the beginning of read the New Testament in its entirety, and then we'd probably all say start in Genesis, right?
Yeah,
like
right.
you have to. Right. Like we're not going to be like,
please,
just go
please
pick
start
one.
In if you've got nothing from this podcast, it is that we love Genesis and that everybody should read it.
I would argue read Genesis first. Like maybe read the gospel, pick your fave, and then go read Genesis. My favorite is, oh gosh.
We talked about this last time. We could not decide.
Yeah. We don't need to go back there. But anyways, I like Matthew. Read Matthew and then go to Genesis because.
No, definitely go to Matthew for the Old Testament.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So scratch that. That's what we decided. Go to Matthew.
Oh, you have it. No, listen. We do love John.
We do love John. But
that's usually everybody's first.
We have mixed opinions on which one. You can't go wrong with any of them.
Either. Yes. You should do either.
But I think that the reason why maybe I wouldn't recommend John first is because like if you don't have a concept for like God as being God, then like John maybe won't hit as hard.
Yeah.
But if you read Matthew first and its connection, and then you read the Old Testament, you get to see like the importance of.
Yeah, because what does Matthew start off with?
Yes.
Literally the lineage into Jesus,
and he uses the Old Testament throughout. Like it's so good
and it's cool, so like read it before, read the Old Testament, and then read Matthew again. But like get to Genesis as soon as possible. As soon as you can start there and read it slowly.
And read in community.
You
don't have to do it alone.
Read it slowly, like Google your questions, like you know, sit with your questions first. We talked about how important that is in the learning process to like feel the dissonance and like the tension of like, I don't know what this is, and like allowing the Holy Spirit to like reveal things to you. But also like the Old Testament is wild.
It is so wild.
I don't know who said the Old Testament was boring. They clearly did not read
it.
Because like some of the wildest stuff happens.
Even the boring books are wild.
Like, they're wild.
Scandalous. Highly
it
scandalous.
It is so scandalous. If somebody were to write like a story today, an adult book with some of the stories in there, they'd be like, this was one of the best books I've ever read. It was just intriguing.
Another thing, this is like me nerding out as like a English major, ex-English major, I guess, because I'm not
ex-English major.
Literally every story ever told is just a reflection of like something in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Like any story ever told
is
just like the Old Testament retold. And so like you'll have a lot of fun. But
you will
start with Genesis.
It'll be familiar.
Be slow. Don't rush through it.
Yeah. I'll say for me, reading the Old Testament has actually at times brought out more conviction and revealed more sinfulness in my heart than the New Testament has.
Because that's what the law was supposed to do.
Yes. The law is supposed to reveal our sin.
Yeah.
And so there have been so many times where I felt more convicted by reading things in the Old Testament than the New Testament.
Yep.
And most people would be like, well, our instruction comes from the New Testament. Like, that's probably where a lot of sin is called out. It is. But when you read stories of these people, even the Israelites coming out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I would never act like that. I'd be so grateful. No, I wouldn't.
No, there ain't no way.
There's no way. Yeah. I would have been griping. I would have been complaining. I would not have trusted Lord for manna every single morning in the days that he told me not to gather more. I would have gathered more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maggots would have been in my manna the next sure. morning for because sure. I would not have trusted in the Lord.
Mm.
And it reveals a part of me that I don't like to admit's there, right?
Yeah.
And I like start seeing like, okay, yes, in the New Testament, I'm convicted by many things. But when I read it and I think to myself, that would not have been me. And then the Lord said, it is you.
Mm-hmm.
This is you now.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you're different because your situation mm-hmm. looks different?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And calls me out on a lot of sin that I didn't even know was there. It mm-hmm. reveals a lot. And so when we approach scripture, especially the Old Testament, go humbly
yeah.
and say, what can I learn from this? Yeah. Lord, please reveal sin to me and sinfulness that I'm not even aware of. And yeah. you will, it will start yeah, jumping absolutely. Off the pages and for you're sure. like, wow,
yeah.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I am in need of a savior. Praise yeah. God that he yeah. sent Jesus.
That I actually have one. And these people didn't even have one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think also it's comforting too, in a sense, because I think that it's really easy, especially like with the internet, when you know every terrible thing that's ever happened and ever all at once, all the time, it's easy to get really cynical.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the Old Testament, you just learn that like there's no new sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been the same. And God mm-hmm. was in control then and he's mm-hmm. in control now.
Yep.
And so like, I think that it's also convicting and also comforting in a sense that like there's no new darkness. Like God right. is... God is the victor then, he's a victor now.
Yeah.
And that's so, good. I don't know.
No, that's good. So, just to kind of wrap it up practically, the encouragement is to read the Old Testament, read it Christologically. If that feels hard, we have a resource that just kind of picks, like, the theme of Christ in every mm-hmm. book of the Bible. So if that might be a good place to start as yeah. well. But yeah, also, any last thoughts?
I do have to recommend the Jesus Bible.
Yes.
It's really, really helpful because it basically has like little explanations from theologians of like the whole purpose of the Jesus yeah. Bible was like all the little study notes in it are to point you to Christ.
Yeah.
And so it,
that's good.
In every single chapter or every single book of the Bible, it has like, the connections where it pulls it out directly for yeah. you. And so yeah. I think that's a really good resource too.
No, that's good.
Can I read a quote
by yes.
Paul Washer?
Please.
Well, it's not a quote. It is from one of his sermons.
No, that's good.
That I transcribed.
Mary's a scribe.
Yes. But it's so good and it points to there's Christology that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's helpful. In that sense. So he says, I count myself among the old men who look for Christ in every line of the Old Testament. If Christ be removed from the Old Testament, if everything, there is not a picture of him, then I am left with nothing but moral stories.
Mm-hmm.
The animal slain to cover the nakedness of our first parents, that was Christ. The ark that weathered the deluge, that was Christ. The ram caught in the thicket by its horns, that was Christ. The temple and its sacrifices, that was Christ. He is the seed of Abraham and one greater than Moses and Joshua. When I read of Samson ripping up the gates of that city and throwing them down, I see Christ ripping up the gates of hell and throwing them down like they were the tiniest feather on the smallest fowl. Let me tell you something. I know Paul Washer, and I need more than proverbs and maxims and moral stories. I need a mighty God who can wrestle this man to the ground and save him.
Mm.
And that was so beautiful.
Yeah, that's good.
That is so good.
Why didn't we even record this? You could have just...
And we could have just played Paul Washer.
That was it.
Yeah, we could have ended it there. Yeah, okay.
But very, very helpful for me in terms of how I see the Old Testament and how... Even in reading that, I am in desperate need of a savior.
Yeah.
And praise God that we can see glimpses of him mm-hmm. in stories of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's really good. That's thanks good. For reading that. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Mary.
Thanks for having
thank
you.
We loved having you yeah. on.
Thanks. Our little that's resident so sweet. Old Testament theologian.
Yes. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.